الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا إلى آخر الآية وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected and honorable ulama, scholars, my elders, my brothers and my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us seated here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create any one of us without a purpose and without a maqsad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the glorious Quran, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرُجَعُونَ That do you think, do you believe, is it your thought that you will not that you have been created without a purpose or without a maqsad? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا Do you think you were created in vain and that you are not going to return to us? Rather, this is the ideology and the belief of the disbelievers, not just in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also in our time. If we look around us, we will see that there are people around us that feel this way. That they have been created, that they have come to this world, they will live a life of amusement, and that they will pass on, and there is no reckoning, and there will be no questioning. This is what the kuffar in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used to say, and they used to say, "In hiya illa hayatuna dunya, namutu wa nahya, wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin." The disbelievers used to say that it is only the life of this dunya. It is only the life of this world that we are going to live. We are going to live in this. We are going to pass on in this same life. And there is no وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ And we are not going to be reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. There is no day of Qiyamah. This is the ideology of the disbelievers. But our belief as Muslims is that there will come a day when we will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will have to answer for our deeds. This is the belief that us as Muslims have. But the question is, that why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us? This is what I was talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That I have not created jinnkind and mankind except that they worship me. The only reason I have created insan and the humans is so that they can worship me. But it is obvious that as human beings, we are prone to sin. And this is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself knew. And this is why he has told his ummah, and he mentions, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ That every single son of Adam, every single human being, except the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, of course, are sinners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself also mentions in the Quran, and he says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept two qualities in a human being. He has kept two sifat and two characteristics in a human being. One which will take him towards good. One which will take him towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One which will drive him towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other quality which will take him towards the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left it upon us the which characteristic and which quality we use. And of course, it is our duty to use that quality of taqwa, to go into, to take that quality of taqwa and drive towards acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this quality within us of fujur, of being able to do bad qualities. So it is obvious that when this quality is present, there will come a time, no matter how hard we try to not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there may come a time in which we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become shaitan and our desires overpower us, and we end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this happens, what is our next step? Do we sit back and leave and continuously disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is there another step? In the same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. When you end up sinning, when you end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the response to that is, you get up and straight away, you repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an, when He is mentioning the sifat of the muttaqeen and the God-fearing and God-conscious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. That when a time comes and they become overpowered and they end up disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right away they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. Right away they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do they do by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And who? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and mentions, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُوا الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who is there that will forgive their sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know what happens sometimes is that we start to think that I have committed so many sins and I have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Is there a way out for me? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that, say, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ibadi, O my servants, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, that have gone beyond the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have transgressed the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have continuously sinned and disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never ever become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive each and every sin. The shart and the condition is that we repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. Under this verse, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions a very beautiful story. We all know the famous story of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Before he accepted Islam, he was a slave. And Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu had killed his master's relative, the master of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of his relatives, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had killed. So the master told Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu that if you kill Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if you kill Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you are free. I will let you free. And you will not be a slave anymore. So Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala was not a Muslim yet, and he wanted to become free. So he says that the battle of Uhud came, and I went out. And the only reason I went to this battle was so that I could kill Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and become free. So he goes, attends the battle of Uhud. He's waiting until he gets his opportunity, and he ends up killing Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is set free. After some time, the conquest of Makkah happens, and Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is still not yet a Muslim, he ends up fleeing from Makkah. Now, he wanted to become a Muslim. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells him that I want to become a Muslim. But the question is, I have committed many sins. The same question that arises in our minds today. That I've committed many sins. I have killed someone who I shouldn't have killed. I have committed zina and adultery. I have committed fornication. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stays silent. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And it keeps going. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then calls Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he praised these ayat and these verses in front of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I see a shart and a condition of amal salih over here. So they wait a bit more. And another verse is revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. That someone ascribes partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone does shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apart from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive whatever He wants. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He prays these verses and these ayat in front of him. And again, Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I see a shart and a condition over here also of shirk. So they stay silent, they wait a bit more until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reads these verses and these ayat, and he prays these verses in front of Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Al-an, now there are no shart. And then he accepts and comes into the fold of Islam. But again, the shart and the condition is that we sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا. That all you who believe, repent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do tawbah nasuh. What is tawbah nasuh? Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that there are three shart and three conditions for tawbah to be accepted. For our repentance to be accepted, there are three sharait and three conditions. Number one, a person, he feels remorseful for committing the act. For example, a person had committed sin. Whatever it may be, whether it was drinking wine, whether it was committing adultery or fornication, whatever the sin may have been, he feels remorse. He feels that he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he feels that he committed a sin, and he feels remorse over this sin. The second condition is that he completely disconnects himself from that sin. So if he was drinking, if he was committing adultery and fornication, whatever the sin may be, whether it was backbiting, whatever the sin may have been, he completely disconnects himself from that sin. He shuns himself away from that sin. And the third condition is that he makes a firm intention that he will never ever come close to that sin again. Not just commit that sin, but he will not even come close to that sin. So these are the three conditions Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions for our tawbah to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions what this is for those sins which are related with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person was drinking, a person was committing adultery and fornication. Then there are these three sharait. But Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi also adds one more shart and one more condition for those sins which are related to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are with huququl ibad. And he says that if, for example, ghiba and backbiting, or he took qarz from someone and he didn't repay that loan yet. So for that, he has to ask that person for forgiveness, and then the previous three conditions also have to be met. when these four conditions are met, then his repentance will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are these three conditions, and when the fourth condition is when it is related to huququl ibad. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha, that all you who believe, repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. Another story which is mentioned in the book of Ahadith, and I will try to wrap up with this final story, is the story of a person from the previous nations. In the Banu Israel, there was a person who had committed a lot of sins and grave sins, and he had killed 99 people. So he went out, he finally felt remorse in his heart, and he finally felt like he did something very bad. And he wanted to go and repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went out and he wanted to go and meet a scholar. But on the way, he ended up meeting a rahib, and a person who was indulged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He was not a scholar. So he asked him, and he mentioned the story to him, and he told him that I did 99 murders. Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Is there a way out for me? So this person said that there's no way out now. So this person, out of rage and anger, ended up killing this person also, and he completed 100. Again, he felt some remorse, and he went out, and this time he finally met a scholar. And he asked him that I committed 100 murders, this happened on the way, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Is there a way out for me? Is there repentance for me? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? And will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept my repentance? So the scholar said that yes, there is a way out for you. But for this, you will have to leave this locality and go to such locality where there are pious and God-fearing servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, he made his way, he wanted to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made his arrangements and he left this town, and he was on his way and he passed away. He passes away, and suddenly the angels of Rahmah, and at the same time the angels of Azab and punishment come to extract his ruh. So the angels of Rahmah and the angels of punishment, they start arguing, and they say that we will extract his ruh and soul. And the others say that no, we will extract his ruh and soul. So another angel that was present amongst them, they made the decision that we will do one thing. We will see which locality he is closer to. And whatever locality he is closer to, if he is closer to that locality which he was traveling to, meaning that locality in which there are God-fearing and pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels of Rahmah will extract his ruh and soul. And if he's closer to that locality which he had just left, then the angels of Azab and punishment will extract his ruh. And when they checked and they saw, then he was closer to that locality which he was traveling to, and the angels of Rahmah and mercy extracted his ruh. Such is the Rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the message I want to get across today is that we should try our utmost best to adopt taqwa, stay in the company of the pious, and adopt those qualities which bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do end up sinning, and if we do end up becoming overpowered by shaitan and our desires and end up sinning, then the doors of tawbah have always been remain open for us, and they will stay open, and we should try and seek repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what better time can there be than now, as we all know that the new year had just dawned upon us a few days ago, and we should try and make this resolution. We make a lot of resolutions for the dunya, that this year I want to prosper in my business, this year I want to make sure I get so and so marks in school. We should also have some dini resolutions and some religious resolutions, that we will try and acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will try and become from those pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has labeled as muttaqeen, And if we do end up sinning, we will be from those servants which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They right away repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost give me the ability to practice upon what has been said, and then the rest of us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqih, sayyidina wa nabiyina wa maulana Muhammad, wa ala ahlihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.